What do you think this Harriet Tubman monument is going to be important for us here in Newark?
I mostly think about our babies and our children and that they need to know their history. And I think, too, about how much pride Newarkers have. I saw a meme the other day that said, love yourself the way Newarkers love North.
My name is Michelle Jones-Delvin. I am the 3 times Great Grammys of Harriet Tubman, and you are listening to Raz in 60.
Hello, this is Mayor Raz J. Baraka. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to our episode 6, season 3, Raz in 60. In this episode, we will talk about the new Harriet Tubman Monument. Today's entire show is dedicated to the creation, design, and impact of the Harriet Tubman Monument entitled Shadow of Fates. The Harriet Tubman Monument Project was funded by the City of Newark, Audubon Mellon Foundation, and individual residents in collaboration with the Newark City Parks Foundation, Newark Arts, the Newark Museum of Art, and the Newark Public Library. Today's show will be featuring and talking with Fayemi Shakur, the Director of the Art and Cultural Affairs Department in the City of Newark, and Nina Kajan, the artist and architect of the actual monument, and Don Katz, the founder of Audible. Stay tuned for a gem of really meaningful history that connects our city with the Underground Railroad, which is an important part of America's evolution toward becoming the ideal realization of liberty and freedom that we still are trying to aspire to this day. Newark's community, its Black community's long history of activism for liberation. More than 250 years free and enslaved Blacks worked for the liberation of themselves and others within the community of activists and vocally standing up for their rights. This work served as a foundation for the political activism and cultural force of what we see happening in Newark today. We'll get some more into that later. Let's start with the news.
All right, so I'm excited about the monument. I can't wait to talk more about it with Fayemi and Nina Kajan and Don Katz, and I can't wait to actually see the monument in person. But let's go into the Newark news. So early this month, the Newark Department of Public Safety introduced a class of new officers at Donald Payne Senior Tech High School here in Newark, and they stated why they wanted to be police officers, why they wanted to, you know, do their job and serve their community. And is that something that's going to be ongoing there, like for the city, or like the new classes of officers want to introduce themselves and kind of try to make that personal connection?
Yeah, I don't think that was the first time that they did it, but I think it's the first time we've recorded it and everything like that. But yeah, I think that's going to happen, through the deputy director office, community affairs, mm-hmm. Reverend Slaughter. So we organized that. It turned out incredible. It was a great event, in fact.
Yeah, yeah. I seen some photos online. It looked like it was really.
Yeah.
And another thing that happened, as far as news is concerned for the City of Newark, the Safe Surrender Program is something that the City of Newark is doing, along with the Office of Violence Prevention and Trauma Recovery Office, and they partner with Houses of Worship to help people to start the Safe Surrender Program, which gives individuals with open warrants an opportunity to surrender peacefully with their social workers and attorneys present.
Right. And that's a way to kind of de-escalate conflict that may happen on the street.
Right.
Police are looking for somebody
uh-huh.
for something small or something big, like homicide or aggravated assault. They have the right opportunity to turn themselves in the right way.
Yeah, peacefully. No drama.
Right.
All right, that's about it. All I have for the news. You can bring on our first guest if you want to introduce them.
Yeah, the first guest, Director of Arts and Cultural Affairs, Fayemi Shakur, and Nina Kajan, who's our artist for our Harriet Tubman Monument. So it's been a great conversation. I look forward to talking to you.
Yeah.
So thank you, ladies, for joining us on our podcast, Raz in 60. Appreciate you, the work both of you are doing in the cities. I want to jump right in, Fayemi. I want to talk a little bit about art as power, as a voice, you know, and why we think that's important here in the City of Newark, particularly around all the things that are going on around the country where they're banning Black history and studies. How is art important in that space?
I've been thinking about this a lot, and I went back to 2020. When we painted those street murals. And some people were saying, you know, it was just a symbol and it didn't really affect anything and it was a waste of time. But for those of us who were out there painting, it was a release. We couldn't sit in our homes anymore holding that anger. And so being able to paint together, we were actually dancing and painting. And I felt that it was a really healing moment and therapeutic for us to come together as a community. And it creates a space for dialogue. And we started to have conversations about abolishing white supremacy. And so now I feel like we're in a similar moment where we have to talk about the importance of Black history, not just for African Americans, but for all of us in the diaspora and all people, period.
Yeah.
Very, very true. Mayor, you wanted to ask another question?
Yeah, really, why do you think this Harriet Tubman monument is going to be important for us here in Newark?
I mostly think about our babies and our children and that they need to know their history. And I think too about how much pride Newarkers have. I saw a meme the other day that said, love yourself the way Newarkers love North. And that's, we're such a city full of pride and very much civically engaged. And so I think there's a lot of excitement around this unveiling. And we used it as an opportunity to reimagine public art. We could have just did a statue, but we wanted something more. And Nina's design was so engaged with community. We knew it was the best choice for North.
And Nina, the name of the monument is Shadow of a Face. Can you just talk about what went into designing that mural? I mean, not mural, but the monument, and where your mind went when you decided to come up with this design and put the monument downtown work?
Yeah, I wanted to first start by responding to something that Siami said about the dialogue that we start having in response to different things that come up in current events. And oftentimes, some of the response is, what do we do? Right? How can we start talking about this? But we realize that those dialogues happen in public space. Oftentimes, people don't say it, but they just know they're going to meet in this park or they're going to meet in this square. And it might eventually just become a memorial gathering or it might become a protest. But ultimately, that meeting in public space is really important, not only in the dialogues, in fostering those dialogues, but really helping people to see, as people gather in those public spaces, see the discussion happening and see the response happening. And so in designing this monument, it was really important for me that it wasn't only marking the legacy of Harriet Tubman, but it was an activated public space. So people wouldn't only come for contemplation, but they would come to create the dialogue that would build future stories around her legacy of liberation and activation.
That's good.
Yeah, and can you talk about where the name came from, Shadow of a Face?
So there's a Haitian poem called Renegade, Renegade, and there's one stanza in the poem, and he's essentially talking about the fugitive enslaved as they were self-liberating, and what happens when you're running through the woods and you're hiding and you hear the hoots, or the fake hoots of the owls indicating the codes that would be passed in the woods. And there's one sensor that mentions Shadow of a Face. So this idea that also comes out in the monument, and Harriet Tubman's face kind of emerges from the wall. So you can imagine, as you're kind of running through the woods, whether you're coming from North Carolina, South Carolina, heading ultimately to Canada, because the northern states weren't safe either, that, you know, faces might have emerged to help you get to the next spot. And so that's where the inspiration for the name came from.
And what inspired some of the choices that you came up with when you were putting that together?
So not only would there be a kind of really direct figurative image of Harriet Tubman in the monument. And I was inspired by the Lee, sorry, I'm forgetting her first name, but the artist whose sculpture was on the High Line, Simone Lee, the brick house, and seeing my face in this oversized sculpture on the High Line above the highway in New York City was really powerful for me. But also, I also like to work in abstraction. And so I knew there needed to be this duality. One Harriet that was larger than life, that claimed space in that park, that has other statues still in the park, right? She needed to be seen and take space in that park and really monumentalize the work that she did, but also being able to connect with her as a woman and as a person, being able to touch that face, see your face in her face, understand her as a woman, and in connecting with her humanity, say, you know, maybe I could do that. Maybe I can't run through the woods with a musket, but I can, you know, help the cause in many of the big and small ways that those who participated in the Underground Railroad did.
Shadow of a Face is dedicated to the women of Newark. I see you. You know who you are. You might not all be in this room today, but I see you.
You guys want to talk a little bit about your experiences working with the community and getting this done? What was that like, and any kind of moments that you remember?
Absolutely. I mean, we went around, I can't remember how many different workshops that we had, both at the museum, at the library, at galleries, but it was also important to us to go to people where they were. Not everyone goes downtown. Not everyone is able to leave their community, so we needed to go into the different neighborhoods of Newark. We had a really powerful session at the Newark Community Street Team house, and you know, it was one, an opportunity to share the project, because not everyone knew that it was going to happen. And you know, what really, really struck me was not only were people willing to share their stories and really loving to engage with etching into clay, it's a very tactile thing to kind of think about issues of liberation, but hearing the pride that the people responded to when they heard about the monument. And I feel like they weren't only proud that Harriet Tubman was coming to this park, but in a way they were proud of me, and they didn't even know me, which was really, really touching for me. So, you know, the overall experience in terms of getting to know people, listening to their stories one-on-one, those who left audio stories, but people who's like, I can't draw, but I was like, you know, you don't have to draw something beautiful. Think of the symbols that you leave on these clay tiles, almost like you might think of a tattoo, right? Something that means something personal to you. When you see it and when you show it to your friends, you have a personal connection to this, so that when it goes into the monument, you can keep coming back here and keep thinking about the things, the ideas of liberation and community that you thought about when you were making these. So the whole experience was really, really impactful for me.
Connecting the history of Harriet Tubman and Newark's Underground Railroad with the people of Newark in the present, dreaming themselves into a future in which they are fully recognized.
The liberation.
Yes. So we encouraged, and we had several prompts, you know, and some people left audio stories and some people etched into the clay. There's sort of some people did both, but the prompts were, you know, who is Harriet Tubman to you? What does community mean to you? What stories of liberation do you have, big or small? You know, understanding that sometimes for people just getting out the door in the morning is a hurdle that they need to get over, where some people have bigger struggles, but every struggle is your personal struggle. Once you get past it, it's a huge undertaking. So yeah, so we had these prompt sheets and they worked through them, and we would sit with them and you know, teach them how to use the tools of etching into clay. And I think everyone that participated was really, really happy for the opportunity.
Okay, that sounds good. So, Mayumi, can you explain the interactive part of the mural. I mean, not mural, I keep calling it mural, the monument. And can you talk about why you think it's important for like parents to bring their kids here, or people who may be not from New Jersey probably gonna visit this mural, or people who maybe live in South Jersey to probably make a stop in Newark to come look at this mural, take a photo, or just interact with it? Why do you think that's important?
Mm-hmm. We were able to commission local historians to really do the research about the history of Black people in Newark during slavery and learn so much. Those stories are on the wall. It's a learning wall. And Audible took those stories and converted it into a script that's read by Queen Latifah and other actors. So you can read the story and hear the story. And some of the things that I realized were how churches were used as safe houses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Newark at that time was not a safe place for enslaved Africans. New Jersey was the last state in the Union to abolish slavery, as Nina was sharing. And so churches historically have been such an important place in the Black community for us in our fight for liberation. There were also Black businesses like Stagecoach owners who helped transport people to different cities. And so bringing your children, we can learn more about not just Harriet's life, but Newark's contribution to the Underground Railroad. And people can start to think of the Underground Railroad as a network that involved people raising money, raising funds, contributing in all different types of ways in this secret kind of way. And I think it's an important story of resilience and that our children must know and need to know.
Absolutely, I agree. Is there one of the specific stories that you may remember from some of the stuff you learned, is that something that stood out? Or any experience in this process that stood out the most to any of you that you would carry with you in this process?
We've all been dreaming about Harriet. We had dreams about her, and one of the poets we commissioned for this, Bigbe Fagiembo, has a poem she's going to share, Freedom for Freedoms. And in it, she talks about the importance of faith. And I think sometimes we forget the imagination and courage. Of course, we know Harriet Tubman had to have courage, but she had to see something, envision something that she never saw, that she only imagined. And that's faith.
That's right. It's good stuff.
Yeah. And also really understanding that even after emancipation in the northern states, because of the Fugitive Slave Act, it still wasn't safe, which is why people ended up in Canada, right? Because what it meant is, even if you escaped from North Carolina, South Carolina, and made it to Newark, or made it to Philadelphia, someone could come and capture you and send you back. Mm-hmm. And it actually was the law that you must do that. So this idea that everyone needed to work together, either to keep people concealed or really highlight where the safe places were, until they ended up north of the border. You know, all these things we did not know. I think there's so much about the legacy of slavery we still do not know, which I think is the importance of this monument. And I think one of the reasons why the Mellon Foundation was interested in it, because there are not enough historical documentation on the full legacy of slavery in America.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, especially like, I feel like elementary school students, they don't really explain what you just explained, right? That they had to go travel, you know, beyond the northern states. You know, you hear a lot, yeah, that's where the story normally ends. They don't know that they had to go up to Canada, you know, they had to leave the country in order to be safe, so.
Or that the northern states were slave states too.
Right.
You know, and New York State was, because of agricultural production, one of the biggest slave states in the country at one time. Mm-hmm. So they emancipated the enslaved sooner than the southern states, but it was very, very important to the northern states economy.
That's right. Well, thank both of y'all for coming on. If you have any last things you want to say, please feel free to do that. You know, we appreciate you for the work that you're doing in the city, and generations from now will remember this moment.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to encourage everyone to come out to the North Museum of Arts Community Day on March 11th from 11:30 to 5 p.m. We'll have lots of interactive workshops for all ages, family. Yendor Theater Production has been commissioned to present their new project. And we'll have tours of the monument available too.
Okay, all right. Definitely I'll be there. I hope my mom will be there too.
So,
yes, this has been a community effort. And so we are celebrating on the 11th at the museum, all of us, for all the people who came out to leave their stories, to work in the tiles, all of us at the museum, at the library, at Newark Arts, at Audible, who really have put their soul into this project over the last 2 years. I'm looking forward to seeing it on there.
Awesome, awesome, thank you. So yeah, as we mentioned in our conversation with Faye and Nina, the monument will be an interactive one, and it's an audio component where Queen Latifah's voice we'll be narrating some of the script. And that was put together and organized and developed by Audible. So today we have the founder of Audible with us today, Don Katz. They were responsible for producing this audio component, and we're glad to have Mr. Katz on with us today. All right, welcome to Rising 60, second part. We have with us founder of Audible, Don Katz. Talk to us about the monument a little bit. So just want to jump right in. We introduced you already, so we're ready to roll. Just want you to talk a little bit about the audio experience at the monument. And I believe it's narrated by Queen Latifah. Just what can we expect to hear?
Great. So, you know, first of all, this is an important public space in Newark, and you know, Audible's a virtual company in many ways. We're serving tens of millions of people around the world. But this is our hometown, this is our place, you know, Newark is our physical presence. Actually, Mayor, it's been 16 years since we moved in as of 2 days ago, and came here, as people may know, without any incentives, no government gifts. We came here because we wanted to be part of Newark across its unbelievable cultural history, its invention history, its important role as this monument, you know, monument says in the history of frankly, you know, liberation and oppression, which this story tells. So the idea of being part of the monument was easy for us, and also it's our front porch. I mean, we came here with 120 people. We had two floors in the big red building. People see one in Washington, share with Rutgers, and a lot of dreams to serve tens of millions of people. We were pretty small then, and we've grown to 1,700 jobs. And we came here with this idea that work, live, play, and serve, you know, in Newark. So, you know, I still try to talk to founders of other companies about coming into a city like Newark is one of the best things you can do, you know, to create a culture that has meaning beyond making money. So anyway, when it came up that this monument just seemed like it's a brilliant physical thing, and if your listeners haven't gotten there to see it, it's just amazing. The sculptor Nina Cook-John, the sculpture is called Shadow of a Face, is incredibly deep and gifted. And she has artisans working at the top of their games to make this sculpture. And it was kind of easy for us to respond to, you know, creating audio that would, you know, teach and make the monument, you know, something better and or even, you know, richer as an experience that people, I hope, you know, get off the train to come see, that they come from the neighborhoods and they really experience this special thing. And you know, what's interesting is that when you talk to Nina Cook-John, you know, she went deep into understanding this amazing human being, Harriet Tubman, and how obviously she's a mythic superhero, like all great historical figures. There's this myth and power to the legend. as there is to the reality. But she really got into the reality of what this real person had to live with and put up with. She had a lot of problems with men, just the revival meeting culture. She had a lot of problems with money and finances to do what she wanted to do. And there was nothing beneath her in her real life that she wouldn't do to create the world. She didn't accept the world. She didn't accept it as it was. And she was a true, change maker. So we tried to make audio that, that captures this. And what Nina wanted to do was make this about everybody. It's not just a hero on the statue. It's like this is a public space where you're going to feel your own life and reflect it, in what you see and hear. So what we did is we got the scholarship together, which is deep. I mean, all of them carry 35, serious pieces of work about Harriet Tubman alone. And then a playwright who was actually from New York, Pia Wilson, worked on the script. And then we proceeded to get Queen Latifah for the bass piece, who's right. An amazing person, amazing ally, and working with her and Shaquem Compares, who's from Newark, who's her partner, has just been a thrill. But we also have the voices of five different black audiobook narrators. I mean, one of the best things about Audible is we created this category that employs a huge number of working actors all over the place, and these folks, between the five of them, they've done 477 different audiobooks you can get on Audible, and all, people who, and they tell stories that it's going to play off the monument. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty sophisticated because our texts have a, listening algorithm, so that when a train goes by and things like that, it kind of goes down and up. And okay. It's got some cool tech characteristics.
So is it ongoing, the audio is ongoing?
Yeah, it's going to be available there. It plays off the monument. You can put QR codes with your phone and get it. And it's also something that we can also, because it's virtual, build upon, make it kind of flexible as to how it sounds.
So you can change it in the future if you wanted to.
Yeah. And the truth is, some of the history of Newark is so rich. And we're talking about 3.5 centuries, really, of frankly, white and black people dealing with the abolitionist movement and the issues of this country's problematic history, and it's really dense, and there's hundreds and hundreds of heroic people who are Newark based on all different flavors over time. I think it kind of focuses more on the historical context. It definitely does, but the mayor and I talk often about the 20th century history of Newark's liberation movements is a whole nother chapter. I mean, the role of this city in the modern civil rights movement, and the character of what the rebellion is really about, and the fact that some of the most progressive and even radical civil rights leaders felt really at home here. When they probably didn't in other cities, and that's a really important part of the history too.
Absolutely. So with the audio piece of this monument, people can download it. Like, if they're not at the monument, can they listen to it at home? How can people access it beyond?
Yeah, people will be able to access it at home. And the truth is, though, it is really mostly designed to be played for students and visitors in a way that, is right there inside a physical experience. And that's fine. That happens. We have a theater in New York called the Mananda Theater, and there is a theatrical experience that being in the place is really part of it.
Right.
And we can do that too. But I think that clearly, I mean, look, our audio, this is not hard for us. This is what we do. I mean, we make an amazing amount.
So it's easy for you to put the investment in that. I know a lot of people might quote a lot of grief for investing in this thing, but I mean,
is that true? Well,
why do you think is it?
I don't know why that would be, unless they're just so risk averse to anything negative that's in the political discourse, which of course you got to deal with every day. But no, this was easy. Let's face it, too. We're here also to. To be part of the deep leadership that the mayor have represented. And you know, we've tried to support this, and we've tried to, you know, any things that you want to do. And look, honestly, I think this is part of something that needs to happen, and we need to acknowledge that the corporate abandonment of the downtown during COVID is a real negative for the amazing, you know, economic equity-based comeback that, you know, we've came here to be a part of. And, you know, Ottawa's part of it too, and I'm hoping, since it's right in our front yard, it's another reason that even our people reconsider the idea that, you know, virtual work, which might be convenient to people, but it is not good for a city where we spent so much time trying to really focus on redistributable wealth, right, and some of the core issues that have made, you know, things unfair for many other people in New York, and frankly for other cities in New Jersey's you know, quality of life for people of color.
Yeah. All right. May you have any other questions?
Oh, I mean, you know, you basically touched on everything.
Yeah.
I want to say one more thing. part of my pride, where Audible is. I mean, we put out 860 Audible originals in 10 languages just, you know, last year. And we served content in 47 languages in 180 countries. Audible got really big and way beyond my dreams what it's going to be. But one of the things people should know about him, we have a humble mayor leader, is that the Book of Baraka is one of those originals. And it is absolutely worth understanding and listening to. It is nuanced, it is artistic, it is being coming like this monument, humanizing Harriet. It humanizes him. It's a political coming of age story that people should know what went on in the 80s in response to, you know, the Reagan administration stuff that created, you know, not just our mayor, but many, many gifted leaders and academics and journalists who came out of that experience. So I highly recommend, it's called Book of Baraka. I highly recommend the listeners check it out on Audible.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it, man. We're looking forward to the unveiling.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be incredible, you know, for Audible, and incredible work me and Kujan did. I mean, it's just amazing collaboration there. I don't think anything like this exists in the state anywhere of this magnitude. So
it's a beautiful thing, and her vision is just, I got to talk to her yesterday for a long time, and it's just fantastic when you let, I mean, this Audible's about unleashing artistic expression, letting people, you know, we created this media type, and you know, the company's godfathers, Ralph Ellison, the great,
right,
America of the 20th century, and he would just be all over this, and everything about it, even down to the nuances of the role of the Black church, and
right,
her experience of the revival movement, and Harriet. There's so much going on here that's exciting for us.
Yeah,
thank you for being on the show, and we appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi. So you are here at the monument that is dedicated to your great, great, great aunt, Harriet Tubman.
Right.
And how does it feel to be here downtown North, just experiencing the unveiling and to be here amongst all
right.
the historical,
oh, historical moments? It is a historical moment. It has been impressive. It has been inspiring. It's such a wonderful creative structure, and I think it draws everyone to take a moment to step back and take a look at who Aunt Harriet really was, what she represented, and what she cared about. She was one of the most compassionate people you could ever find. She had a sense of self-sacrifice. She was trustworthy. Can you imagine people trusting her with their own lives? She was just absolutely wonderful. So this allows Newark and everyone that visits to be able to just take a step back, reflect, and hopefully become inspired to be the kind of person that Aunt Harriet would want us all to be, which is to say that we are understanding, that we look around us, and if there is an injustice, do something about it. Yeah.
What do you want people to take away from this monument when they visit North, they come check out the monument, they learn about the piece of history? What do you want them to take away from when they leave here? What do you hope you take away from your aunt's legacy?
I hope they take away a spirit of courage a spirit of inspiration, a spirit of knowing that you can make a little bit of change, and a spirit that says, I'm Harriet this year.
Right.
Let me think about what she might be telling me to do.
So thank all our guests for making this a great and informative conversation. Thank you, Fayemi, John, Don Katz, Audible, Queen Latifah, even though you're not here, we're happy for your voice. Coming on, Razzin 60, all of the folks that joined us today. And of course, thank you for our audience for tuning in and listening. Make sure you share the episode and all other episodes of Razzin 60 with your family, friends, and social circles to stay updated on the many, many exciting initiatives that are transforming our community of Newark. And remember, I had reasoned this out in my mind. There was one of two things I had a right to: liberty or death. If I could not have one, I would have the other. Harriet Tubman. Godspeed.